You're not going to possess the promised land without hope. You see? And it's got to be the God kind of hope, not what the world calls hope. There is a empty, powerless, worldly hope that will never produce results. Well, he's checking me a little. The only way it will is if you do it the world's way, not God's way. So let's start here in Romans 15. How many want to possess your land? What I mean by that is you're part of the calling, whatever he's called you to, and whatever he has purchased for you. You know, amen? All right, it belongs to us. We should possess this land. All right. Well, first, Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all..." Now, these two things should be your hallmark. See, if you know the God of hope and you spend time with the God of hope, these two things will be the hallmark of your life. Everyone want to say one thing about that person? They're full of joy. And they're full of peace. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on around you, you're full of joy and full of peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Now notice, these words are not in there for no reason. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. God's power and hope go hand in hand. Now I grew up in my early training as a Christian. They actually kind of came against hope. Well, you're just a hoping and a praying. And they had reason to come against that. If you're just a hoping and a praying and you haven't ever really started operating in faith yet. See, hope without faith is dead, to be honest with you. Faith without hope is dead, though, too. Well, in the days in a galaxy far away, a long time ago, I was praying a whole lot in other tongues in the trucks, you know. And the Holy Spirit began teaching me out of this verse. There's a whole series that I have out there called The God of Hope. It's available also at the website, www.garycarpenter.org. You can afford it. It is free. You know, and you can just, you don't have to be very computer literate, you know. If you can see that, if you can see the title and you can take your little mouse and put it on the title and go click, it will start to play. Or you can download it and put it on your personal listening device, whatever you have, you know. But it is amazing, the God of hope. And then in 1998, just hadn't been out of the trucks very long in ministry, then in one of my face-to-face times with the Holy Ghost, he gave me that document that Tim has been reading from in the 8:30 services the last two Sundays. And I'm going to read just a part of that. I know I don't have any copies of the handout to get you here. By the way, all of those are also available at the website, garycarpenter.org. They are in the face-to-face section. I want to talk about the difference tonight between godly hope and powerless hope. Hope that is not really hope. Hope that is really just wishful thinking. See? And the difference is pretty easy to illustrate from the Bible. I'll just say it like this first while we've got our mind right there. Let me ask you about the first group of Israelites, the ones that had been slaves. They had been slaves for over 400 years. Their grandparents, their parents, themselves, generation after generation, all they had known. Since Joseph, since the favor turned from Joseph's day and they became slaves, all they ever knew was hard labor. When they came up to the promised land and the spies went in, and then they came back with those grapes, one cluster of grapes was so big that they had to put it on a staff and two men carried it on their shoulders. What do you reckon that looked like? They said, "This is the fruit of the land that God has given us." Now let me ask you, do you think they wanted that? Amen, they wanted it. Everything, they wished they had that. They would like to have that. But see, they had the kind of hope that is birthed from natural circumstances. They did not have the kind of hope that is birthed from God's word. The one is always dependent upon your ability. You can have it, but you'll have to get it the world's way. So, well, I can't do that. Well, you're probably right. So I was in a Chinese restaurant, and they gave me a cookie with a prophecy in it. I'm teasing. And the fortune said, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you are right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, if you'd have asked that first group that never did possess the land, if you'd have asked them, do you like the wilderness? No, I don't like the wilderness. Would you like to live in a land that flows with milk and honey, that has grapes like what you saw? Oh, man. Oh, let me just take a moment. I wish we lived there. Oh, I would sure like to live there. That would be so wonderful. See, and that's what most people call hope. Yeah, sure would be nice to have that. Are you able to go take the land? Oh, no, not me. I'll never have that. You hear people say, my daddy was poor, his daddy was poor, and I'm going to be poor. And I say, yeah, you probably will be too. Yeah, that's not what God calls hope. Now, if you've got your documents now, it's not the page title Grace. It's the God of Hope, and you notice in the bottom right there's a handwritten number. It's page 2 is where I want to read here. Just come on down to this. Well, let's start at the top. I think Tim actually read this part this morning. Now, this is from the face-to-face document called The God of Hope. Again, if you want to print this or any of the others, they're all there for free. You can print them. You can download them. I read them all so you can listen to them while you're driving or whatever. It said, the first message that Jesus taught after overcoming the enemy in the wilderness was to announce that he had been appointed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. With those words, hope was immediately imparted to the spirit of every person in the sound of his voice. For they all knew that those words meant he was announcing and proclaiming the year of Jubilee. Instantly within them, hope was painted on the canvas of their heart. For they knew that the year of Jubilee meant all debts are canceled and every man is restored to his original inheritance. Well, that's a good day, isn't it? Hope was the first thing Jesus imparted with his words. The first lifeline he cast to the people was hope. And with those words, he was proclaiming. Now, if you want God's definition of hope, here it is. What has been is not what shall be. Man, you've got to get that. You have got to get that. That's what hope, godly hope, really is. That's the kind of hope that faith possesses. Again, I'll mention Abram. For years, I discounted the fact that God took him out of that tent and showed him those stars at night. And I didn't really understand the importance of it. He had to change what Abraham was seeing on the inside, because all Abraham and Sarah had seen for all these years, and now in the natural, there's no hope left. I mean, she's not ovulating anymore. He's not such a hot rod himself anymore. You know? There's no hope left in the natural. So God says, I've got to change your hope from the natural kind to the godly kind. Let me paint hope on the canvas of your heart. Boy, he takes him out there and he shows him the stars of heaven. I can imagine. He says, your seed is going to number like this. He gave him he said, can you see this? You have to see it. If hope can't see, faith can't have. If hope cannot see, faith cannot have. Why do you say that, Gary? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. If there is no real hope on the inside of you that things are going to change, if there's no hope, there's nothing for faith to give substance to. You're just a wishing and a praying. I'd like to live in the promised land. Can you take those giants? No, I can't do that. We're about to go into a promised land. Each of us is about to go into our part and get our inheritance in the promised land. Do our part in this revival, not only your healing, your prosperity, everything, your inheritance is there. It's already there. God has already, he didn't say, I'm going to give you the land. He said, I have given you the land. It's a matter of possessing that land. Well, it starts with hope. You've got to come to the place. What has been? Isn't that what Abraham had to have? What has been is not what shall be. I'm going to have something different than I've had in the past. Based on God's word this time. Based on what did he say? Well, yes, sir. Go to Isaiah 61, isn't it? Yes, Isaiah 61. Jesus quoted this out of the book of Isaiah, the first message that he preached. And in the four Gospels, it says he has sent me to preach good tidings to the poor, good news to the poor. See, well, the meek, the humble, same thing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now just stop right there. What if you've been a brokenhearted person? Really been brokenhearted. For whatever reason. And maybe you've been to the doctors and the psychiatrists and the psychologists and they put you on Prozac or whatever it was just to function. And I'm not against anything that helps you until you get healed. Okay? He says, I've got more for you than Prozac. What has been doesn't have to stay that way. Hope says it's going to change. You're going to have something different. Your heart is not going to be broken anymore. Amen. See? Proclaim liberty to the captives. Well, you could take that in a number of ways. What about some, the first way is he made us free from sin. Well, we had a nature before that enslaved us to sin. He put a different nature on the inside of us, and he's really proclaiming you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. But what if you're a slave to a wheelchair? What if you're a slave to glasses? I'll include me in there. What if you're a slave to bitterness or... It's all kinds of things that can take you captive. You have to come to the place that you mean I don't have to stay that way. See, the good news originally when you first heard it and got saved, I mean, you found out there's a hell and you were headed for it. And the good news, hope, had to come into you. Somebody had to preach to you hope from the Word of God. You don't have to go to hell, sinner. You don't have to go to hell. There's good news to you, captive. Well, what's that good news? And he tells you the gospel about Jesus. And then if you act on it, now that's faith. First, hope had to come. I remember my own life. I don't have to go to hell. Michael kept telling us, you don't have to go to hell. Jesus has paid the price. And it finally dawned on my lightning quick mind. Perhaps I should get saved. I knew I was going to hell. Nobody had to tell me. Sue and I, trust me, we knew. We knew he was on our way to hell. Hope came through the words that he would come and preach the good news to us. Hope came, and then we had to act on it. See, you can hear God's word forever in 3 days, and if you never act on it, you'll never have what it says, even though it's yours the whole time. Real hope has to come first, and then you have to act, and that's the second half of the equation. See, the way I see it with Abram, he painted hope on the canvas of Abram's heart. Just come outside and just look. He changed what Abram expected. Oh, that's good right there. Hope changes what you expect. See, godly hope, it changes what you expect. Let's say it that way. But then he had something for Abram to do. He says, I want to change your name. Every time you say your name, you say, I am Abraham, which in the Hebrew language means, I am the father of a multitude. See, and everybody, we read that, it doesn't mean a whole lot to us. I'm going to go through this quickly. I kind of string it out sometimes. Abraham and Sarah knew people. Let's say Uncle Harold lived three dunes over. After God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Three dunes, you know. They're going to go visit Uncle Harold. Uncle Harold sees them coming. Well, here comes my nephew. Here comes Abram and his wife, you know. And they get there and he says, well, oh, it's so good to see you, Abram. It's nice to see you. How are you doing? He said, oh, we're doing fine. But he said, I got to tell you, my name is not Abram anymore. It isn't. What is your name now? My name is Abraham. And the guy knew. The uncle would know. He said, you're the father of a multitude. And he's looking around behind him to see if there's any little toddlers on the camels or anything. He said, aren't you about 100 years old? Now here it comes, see. Abraham, who told you that you're the father of a multitude? Here it comes. God told me. You've had this look. Oh. And everyone you know, you start changing what you say. You start putting in your mouth and talking like you already have the land. You start calling yourself healed, calling yourself prospered, calling yourself anointed, calling yourself everything that the Bible says about you. You start talking that way and they're going to give you that same look. Oh, God told you. But see, if Abram, he tells you plainly in this document, I learned this from the Holy Ghost praying in other tongues. He told me plainly. He says, the confession alone, without the hope, would never have produced Isaac. Let's get on down in there. Oh, let's finish reading this. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. See, to me, that day of vengeance of our God, that's Acts, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's how God took vengeance. Here the devil had had his sway even over God's people. You know, the woman bowed over for 18 years, and the guy with the paralytic hand, and the man born lame from his mother's womb, and the man that was born blind, and on and on and on. The devil had had his way, and Jesus said, I have been anointed to set you free. I've come to set you free. And that woman that had the issue of blood and all of those years, wasn't it 18 years? 18 years, and the doctors, she'd done everything that could be done in the natural. There was no hope. She said within herself, if I may touch but the hem. Somebody told her about Jesus. And she began to rehearse it on the inside. She began to say it. The Amplified says that she said it on the inside to herself over and over. She's preaching to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And boy, when she did, he did, and she was. Glory to God. And it wasn't Jesus' faith. That's amazing. See, you got to remember, Jesus was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. I know he's divine. Don't write me no letters. I know, but he laid down that divinity. He's operating as a man empowered by the Holy Ghost. He wasn't teasing when he says, who touched me? He wasn't playing games. It wasn't his faith that caused that woman to be healed. He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Glory to God. First came hope. Somebody told her. She rehearsed it. She said it again and again. She acted on it and she received her healing. That's how it works. That's how you possess the land. Okay. Glory to God. Getting back to the document here now. So that part in bold there, he was proclaiming what has been is not what shall be. The acceptable year of the Lord has arrived. All debts are canceled. Man is restored to the original intent and purpose of the Father. Every man is restored to his inheritance. And hope was instantly imparted to them. Now get this. Though many never acquired faith to appropriate the bounty that he had proclaimed. Faith in what? Faith in what? Many crisscross the land and teach with great swelling words the mechanics of faith. And even though these prescriptions for faith are accurate, it's not like they're teaching something wrong, yet when the people try to employ them, many fail. For the truth of the matter is this, they have no real hope on the inside of them. The image is not real in them. Hope is not real in them. Now get this, they still think not that their lives can change. They have no vision of overcoming. They have no vision of being blessed. And they still believe in their heart, because of lack of hope, that what has been is what shall be. Now I'll tell you right now, you know, it's difficult for people when you've been in pain for a long time. And I'm talking, let's say, years. Maybe you've been in a wheelchair for years, and you've tried to stand and you can't stand. Or maybe you're dealing with something that from birth, you know, and so maybe it's been 10 years, maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years. And I'm telling you, it wears on you. Your soul gets tired. Ruts get deep in your brain furrows that things are going to stay this way forever, you know. It takes godly hope. When I'm ministering to people sometimes, and which God has given them to me as an assignment, if they're flat on their back, I'll ask them. I say, and they've been that way for quite a while, can't get out of bed or whatever, I'll say, what is it that you used to do? What did you used to like to do? Oh, it's different people. It's different things. You know, one of them, I remember one time, said, well, I used to go snow skiing. That was my favorite thing. We'd go to Colorado, and we'd love to go skiing down the mountains. Now, the person had called me. I was there because they wanted healing. I'm trying to locate where they are. Now, see, it can happen by the gifts of the Spirit without any of this. But if you're teaching people how to get healed and how to stay healed, yes, sir. Hey, when he interrupts me, it's my job to let him. Years ago, I'm not going to mention names. Years ago, a worldwide ministry that is known for the gifts of the Spirit operating in it. If I mention the name, every one of you would know it. It's a good ministry. Televised miracle services. People get healed in every service. But they would follow up and they'd find out that the vast majority of those people, even though they genuinely had a miracle from God, the vast majority that wouldn't be able to keep their healing. Some of them would lose it within a week. Some of them 6 months, or some of them a year. You come back next year, they're getting the same or worse than they were before. So this nationally known minister contacted another minister who is especially known for faith and how to operate in faith. He says, I don't know what to do. He says, it's one thing to receive a miracle by the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, all you got to do is have obedience on the part of the minister to let the gifts flow, and they'll flow. It's another thing to know how to keep your healing. The people need to be taught how to keep their healing, see? So the two collaborated, and great increase was coming in for the kingdom of God. Well, when I talk with these people, I've learned from that, and I'm going, okay, I've got to change the hope that's on the inside of them. So I remember this one person in particular. I said, now, what did you used to like to do before you got this way? He said, oh, I used to go snow skiing. I loved to go snow skiing. Said, I'd get up there, and I'd take the challenging route down, you know. I said, well, can you see yourself ever doing that again? He said, no. They've asked me to come to see if I can pray, and they'd be healed. But yet, when I start examining them and finding out if they have any hope, you think you're ever going to snow ski again? No. No real hope. Well, I'd like to. I think the person said, I'd like to. Uh-huh. Well, the first group of Israelites that never possessed the land would have liked to have had it. That's not godly hope. So I instructed the person. I said, look, I want you on purpose to start seeing yourself doing the things that you used to do. I said, I want you to start saying with your mouth. And I hand wrote out some confessions. I remember the first one. I am coming off of this bed. Second, I will snow ski again. I will do my own grocery shopping. I remember trying to remember the things on the list. Trying to change that image from invalid and a person who can't do anything to a person that is the healed of the Lord, that has possessed their promised land. Godly hope is based on God's word, and it's also based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. By his stripes, you were healed. Man, that brings hope to me. That delivers me from having to be perfect. Thank God for that. I'm a long ways from there. You know, thank God. Even as he's maturing me into the image of Christ, my inheritance is not based on my performance. My inheritance is based on his performance. Glory to God. Hallelujah, see. All right. Coming down near the end of that page too, says they still believe in their heart because of lack of hope, that what has been is what shall be. Again I say, without hope there is nothing for faith to give substance to. Faith in what? Faith in what? Their faith must be in the hope given by the God of hope through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Son, hear my voice. To help the people, they must have hope. They must have a living hope, a lively hope, a hope that cannot be quenched, a hope that cannot be stolen. Who does that sound like in the story of the Promised Land? Who is that? Joshua and Caleb. Man, I don't care how many spies had a bad report. I don't care what it looked like. Caleb, he was just going like, what's wrong with you dunderheads? If God be for us, we're well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and possess it. You couldn't. And 40 years later, he's 80 some odd years old at that point. He says, my eyesight is not dimmed. I'm well able to take the land. Give me this mountain right here. See? And that guy had hope that could not be quenched even after 40 years. I love Joshua and Caleb. Glory to God. A hope that cannot be quenched, a hope that cannot be stolen. They must have the image on the inside that is more real than the circumstances they face daily. Now, I don't remember. You remember the little boy? Said, if you don't, little boy, about, y'all remember Dennis the Menace? Little, about that age, you know. Do you stop that or I'm going to make you go sit in the corner? Little active little boy, that's real punishment, man. You have to go sit in the corner. He kept doing it, and finally they made him go sit. At first he wouldn't. They forced him to sit down. He's sitting there. He says, I see you're finally sitting in the corner. He said, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. Well, just reverse that. You may be laying in the bed right now, not able to walk, but your God says you can walk. You have been delivered. He come to set you free. Stand up on the inside. Rise up on the inside. So whatever it was you used to do, you're going to do that again, whether it was snow skiing, shuffleboard, I don't know what you, bowling, whatever, something. Get out of the house, do something. Mow the lawn. See, to me, mowing the lawn is my idea of having nothing to do. I don't have anything to do. Well, the lawn needs mowing. I have nothing to do. Now, other people really enjoy lawn work and stuff. That's not me. By the way, I do mow my own lawn, just so you know. All right. Okay, you are the servant of the God of hope. As your teacher, I will instruct you in very precise detail how to impart the image of hope on the spirits of the people so that beyond any shadow of doubt they understand. This is what you have to understand. What has been is not what shall be. Can you believe your God can change your life? Do you really? Even though you've been in the same funk, is that a good word? Same funk, same rut for 20 years, 25 years. Are you tired? That'd be a good title. Are you tired of your funk? Get out of the funkness. You know. Hope must be alive, son. Hope must be a living thing in them. The image of hope. You know, if it wasn't to go up against insurmountable odds. I think about David and Goliath. You talk about a man that was full of hope. He had an image on the inside. He declared that image before it actually happened. He says, I'm going to take your head clean off your shoulders. That hadn't happened yet. He had an image on the inside of him of everything he could do because God was with him. God is with you. God is with you. You have a promised land. He has a wonderful place for you. When you find it, it'll be like, oh my God, this is in my land? Yes. Oh, I love this. You know, the devil did everything in his power to stop you from ever trying to claim it. Scared you, britches off. Every circumstance, every fear, dreams at night. I used to lay in bed at night trying, I was going to obey God. You know, I lay in bed at night. I'd have dreams. I tried not to have them. You ever tried not to have them? I'd have dreams and visions of Sue and I sleeping under a bridge, you know, and wearing gunny sacks and, you know, thought you heard God, did you? Now, Sue would never be like that, but I would dream. I'd wake up in a cold sweat going, I gotta stop this and go back and do things my way. That's the big challenge right there. Go back to natural hope instead of godly hope. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, okay. I'm not going to lift it. I wrote down my list this morning. You can do this at home after the service. Take 5 minutes. This is what Tim had us do this morning, which really the Lord had us do. He said, I want to take 5 minutes of silence. He said, get something to write on. And he says, I want you to write down as many things as you can that you know is in your land. Things maybe through personal prophecy, or prophecy maybe through Dave or through others, but things that the Lord has said to you that you know is in your promised land. He says, I want you to write those down. See if they're still in your heart in abundance. Do they come forward when you try to access them? I mean, I was writing from the time I wrote down 12 things here. I'm not surprised at any of the 12. I know I've meditated. I've done warfare with my prophecies. I know what they are. I am a little surprised at the sequence, because what's in your heart in abundance, you know, comes first, I think. I was going to tell you this one, and you can call me crazy. I don't care. I have a word from the Lord from years ago, about the same time, 1998 or so, that he said to me, that part of my ministry, how he's going to use me, he said, the anointing will become as a tool in your hand, the same way that a mechanic uses a wrench. It'll be no more difficult than that. A mechanic sees a problem. Okay, I know what that is. He reaches for the correct tool. Problem solved. The real minister of God says, I recognize what that is. Here's the anointing for that situation. Be free, be healed, be whole. Now, I have partially seen some of that, but I have not yet seen it to the degree I know he intends. That's still in my promised land. What has been is not what shall be. I'll be operating in more of that anointing the next time you see me. I'm still in the process of possessing that. And there's a lot of other things on here. I recommend that exercise to you. And if nothing comes, you go, I'd suggest go back and read your prophecies again. Go back and get them out. Whether it's things the Lord has said to you personally, individually. I mean, you can hear the Lord. We live in a different dispensation than the Old Testament. There is still the ministry of the prophet, but it is vastly different today than it was under the Old Covenant. Under the Old Covenant, your normal, everyday believer, or, you know, Israelite, could not hear God for themselves. You normally had to go to the priest or the prophet to hear from God, you know. And they would use they would use the Urim and the Thummim. I hope I'm saying that right. And found it out that way. So the prophet, they could hear God, and they would come and they'd tell you, yea, thus saith the Lord. But in our dispensation, you've been given a nature that's able to hear God for yourself. And you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and his job is to bring you the very mind of Christ. Dave says it this way. He says, you know, at this stage now, he says, God's not above sending a prophet to say something to me, but he says, if he does, I'm so embarrassed. I mean, I've been at this a long time. I'm fairly good at hearing the Lord. And if he's been trying to say something to me or get something across to me, and I'm not hearing it, there's only two reasons. I mean, he's intelligent. He's made me intelligent. I'm not hearing it because I don't want to hear it. I didn't hear that. You kind of deaden your, you know. Yet if it's something important, really crucial for your life, he's not. He said he'll send a prophet. Come, yeah, thus saith the Lord, and you better pay heed to it too. But see, you can hear the Lord for yourself. So if you have things that he said to you over the years, you might want to get them back. Find what drawer you put them in, get them out, and blow the dust off of them. You know, maybe start. How would you build hope from those? How about start? Tim said, I suggest you start reading them back to the Lord. In fact, I think I wrote down those instructions. He said, personalize the words, first of all. You know, we even do that during a part of the confessions here. You know, every time I come, I drink of God's glory. When I leave, I am a vessel full of your grace. I am full of your love. I am full of your wisdom. And I am anointed by your Spirit. Personalize it. Start, do like Abraham. What that means is, start saying about yourself what God has already said. It's the same. See, now we're starting to activate the mechanics of faith that appropriates from hope. See, you just don't know how strange that sounded to me, to my ears back in 1998, that God says, I'm going to use you like that. And I'm going to know you use Dave like that. Do you know who I am? I'm fresh out of the trucks. Do you understand? You know, I've been drinking coffee and talking to truckers. You know what I'm... now I'm going to use you like that. It took a long time. I had to keep... I'd go over that and go over that. And finally, something changed. And I'm going, you know, I'm going to be just that way. Yeah, that's exactly the way it's going to be. You know, what God said. If I'm going to obey the instructions that came from God through Tim this morning, I need to get those back out myself. I need to start saying about myself what God has said about me. The way Tim said it this morning, he said, personalize the words. In other words, make them into a present tense confession. Okay. Step two, read them back to the Lord. He said, it's fun. Lord, you said to me. Okay. And then number three, turn them into praise and worship. So on that one, what would I do? I'd say, let me read it again the way I had it there. Father, I thank you that the anointing shall be in my hand as a tool is in a mechanic's hand. Lord, no matter what the situation, no matter how devastating it looks, Father, you have trained me to use the anointing to solve that problem the same way a mechanic would use a tool to solve a natural problem. And then start worshiping him. Father, I thank you for this. I know I didn't earn it. I know it's not based on my merit. Lord, I know it's all based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. But Lord, you have spoken it, and thus it shall be. I do not believe it's going to be the same when I pray for people. What has been is not what shall be. When I pray for them, the anointing is going to work just like a tool works in the hand of a mechanic. I'll do what you say and act on what you say, and that anointing will flow and their lives will be changed forever. Can you see how that would work? In the process, you're reinforcing hope, but you're using the mechanics of faith that calls those things which be not as though they were. And while you do it, see. Let's get to that part. Yes, we're right up to it anyway. So we're back to page 3 now of that handout from Tim. He says, as your teacher, I am saying this in many different ways in order that your mind comprehend the laws of the Spirit. Hope must be alive, son. Hope must be a living thing. The image of hope painted on the inside of them must be of greater substance to them and reckoned to be more real than the circumstances in the natural they must deal with on a daily basis. Many emphasize faith and the working of faith to try and impart faith unto those that have no hope. This is not the mind of the Father. It's like me asking that lady. She specifically requested that I come and pray for her to be healed. Are you going to go skiing again? No. She doesn't have any vision, no hope, nothing in her. I just wish she'd like to be healed. That's not godly hope anyway. This is not the mind of the Father. This is not the plan of the Father. This will not work. He is the God of hope, and they are saved by hope. First, son, first, learn from me how to impart hope to the people. Learn from me how to impart hope in such a manner that the canvas of their heart abounds in hope. This is the first order of ministry that releases the power of the Holy Ghost. You remember Romans 15:13? That you abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. If you can impart a lively hope unto their spirit, then they will instantly receive a measure of joy and peace in believing. See, once that decision, I've been through it 1,000 times myself. You're in turmoil, having dreams about sleeping under a bridge. I can't sleep at night. I'm not in peace. I mean, you know, I'm walking the floor, confessing the word. The only reason I can get any peace at all, I have to confess the word hours at a time. You know, I'm struggling. But I remember the day I stepped across that threshold. Something happened. The only way I can describe it, it's like stepping out of one room into another room and turning around and saying, I don't live there anymore. And from that point on, I didn't walk in that same turmoil anymore. Something changed. Peace came. Was there answers? No, it got worse after that. Got worse for a while. But that I was never the same. Peace. There was this deep-seated joy not based on my circumstances. So he talks about that here. I mean, we've got to finish this up. With lively hope, a living hope, comes a measure of peace and joy. They must have that measure of peace to have calmness of spirit, that they may begin to hear the leadership of the Spirit as I bring instructions from the mind of Christ that will develop faith to appropriate this hope. Now, in my case, those of you that's heard my testimony in the early days, what did he have me do? What was one of the instructions regarding confession? You remember? In my case, now I'm not telling you to do this. This was my instruction. He had me take like those 3 verses and speak them with my mouth 4 hours a day. I hate to admit that my soul was so messed up that it took that level of confessing God's word to finally break down the strongholds and get me to a place of believing. But it did. It took it for months. That's the instruction I received. But now, he's teaching me something that I didn't know then. It would not have taken so long if I had known this next part. And we're going to do this and then quit for tonight. He said to me, 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. See, I know exactly what that means. The instruction that I heard, and he probably told me more that it never made it through the filter, the gray matter. What I heard was just confess it 4 hours a day, and I did that like a jackhammer. I'm kind of made that way anyhow. I'm like a bowl in a china closet. I'll get her done. It ain't going to be pretty, but I will get it done. You know, bam, bam, bam. And that's the way I did it. Confession, 4 hours a day. What was your mind on? Anything, probably on the bills, probably on the problems, anything and everything. And what he's telling me was, if I would have learned then what I found out here later, if I would have learned to give my mind to the hope, to the vision, to seeing it as being done while I made that confession, it would have tremendously shortened the amount of time until I had my manifestation. Read that again. 4 hours spent developing godly hope. That's where you see it while you say it. You see it while you say it. I'm going to say it with me. I see it while I say it. See it while I say it. See? Okay, you got to come off of that bed on the inside first. Something will rise up in you, God's hope, the power of the Holy Ghost, and you'll go, I am not staying in this bed. Now, maybe at that moment you can't get out of it, but you are not staying in it. Man, you're a candidate for faith now. Your faith is about to appropriate from that hope right there. And what has been is not what shall be in your life anymore. Did you get anything out of that? Glory to God. I want to preach it again in 5 minutes. No, isn't that good stuff? I do have a whole series. I forget how many messages, 5 or 6 or something. But it's called The God of Hope. So much in there, more than what I could do in this one service. I recommend it to you. It's GaryCarpenter.org. It's one of those series. In the series section, The God of Hope.